All right, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night service. We're going to begin with hymn 148 in your blue hymnals. 148, when Jesus comes to reward his servants, will he find us watching? Hymn 148. Let's stand, please, as we sing. To him 148. Stanza, hymn 148, think about those words. Have we been true to the trust he left us? We'll sing that third stanza without the chorus and go right into the fourth.
Tonight. All right, maybe never, maybe it didn't think about his return all day till we sang, maybe just like me, didn't think about his coming back till I sang that song. One good reason to be in the house of the Lord, right? Okay, let's have prayer. The young little queens have just arrived. Now, you girls, where's your hanky? Huh? Come on, when it's time to say amen. Okay. All right, let's have some prayer. David Smith, lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house this evening. And thank you that we do have that blessed hope that one day you will return. Mm-hmm. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to be ready, help us to be witnessing to the people around us and telling them that good news, that they can be saved from their sins. Lord, have that place in heaven. Pray that you would bless this time as we worship you with our music and with message here in a little bit, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Maybe seat. I think we have some missionary updates. Mr. Luke.
This is from the Stahl family on deputation to Nepal. The Lord has substantially increased our support over the last 3 months in a greater way than we anticipated. Right now, we are at 72%. One Sunday, we were in two different churches who both voted to take us on for support on the spot. That is quite unusual. The Lord has been so good to provide for us. We were in the Columbus, Ohio area on a Sunday. We did not have a scheduled meeting, but the Lord led us to a very good church to attend. Someone at that church mentioned to us that there were a number of Nepali people who lived in that area. A few days later, we were able to find a couple of Nepali grocery stores and talk to the store owners. A few months before this, I had purchased several copies of the Gospel of John in the Nepal language, just in case we met some.
Wow.
After purchasing some items and talking with the store owners for a little while, we gave each of them a copy of the Gospel of John. They both accepted it, but one especially was very appreciative.
Hmm.
We are planning to return to that area later on this year to visit another church, and we hope to do some follow-up at that time.
Amen.
And this is from the Bloids in Italy. We are grateful for the privilege of serving our Lord in the needy land of Italy since June of 1987. Since Italy has so few workers and churches, we ask that you continue to pray for more to come. Fernando, Sarah, and the kids who were here ministering with us for some months returned to Mexico so that Sarah could apply for a religious worker's visa. She did, and they gave it to her the day after she applied. Amen.
Wow.
We praise God for answered prayer concerning her. We are looking forward to their return later this month. They will be working alongside of us for about a year as they seek the Lord as to where he wants them to serve, whether it be here or elsewhere. Please pray along with them as they seek God's will. While here, they were a big, big blessing, so we are looking forward to having them again ministering to all of us. That's from the Bloids in
Amen.
Italy.
Fernando, they're from Mexico, huh?
That's what it sounds like, so
yeah.
Pray that the Lord directs
Think
them to Italy.
Think about that. People from one of the poorer countries in the world going to one of the countries with the highest standard of living. That's amazing, isn't it? All those poor people sending out missionaries to a rich country. That means they had a lot of support. So praise the Lord. That's exciting to see what the Lord is doing there. Okay. All right, pray for our missionaries. Well, good update from Mr. Stephen today. Did you hear that? The doctor said he was couldn't be more pleased with Kayla's condition after the test that they took today. So I praise the Lord for that. And God is watching over her little soul. Pray for them. I'm sure that they've had a lot of opportunities to give out the gospel up there. And so pray to that end.
All right, you can take a green hymnal, turn to hymn 380. Hymn 380, He was not willing that any should perish. Hymn 380.
Oh, tomorrow morning will be our ladies' Bible study at 10 o'clock right here in the auditorium. So I encourage you ladies to come on out for that if you're able to be here. And we trust the Lord will use that in a great way. On Friday morning, our Mequonago Baptist Academy elementary students have a great opportunity. They're participating in fine arts competition and be participating in a number of different areas. And so great opportunity for our academy students. You can be praying for them as they go to that competition on Friday morning and throughout the day on Friday. And Friday night is Kids Club at 6 o'clock, so make that a matter of prayer tonight. And then Saturday morning will be our spring cleanup from 9 to noon. If you remember last year, we had a lot of rain on spring cleanup day. So it's going to be a little cooler on Saturday, but I don't think we're supposed to get rain. So it's going to be a great day to serve the Lord. So come on out. Make sure you're dressed if you're going to, a little warmer if you're going to be outside. Encourage you to take a look at the sign-up list as it goes around again tonight. And you can look for an opportunity, a way to serve on one of these areas, or just come and we'll be able to plug you in somewhere. If you have a specific job, it might be convenient to bring appropriate tools or cleaning supplies, whatever it might be. I know we have stuff here at church, but you can think about that in the particular area you might sign up for, just to come prepared and ready to serve the Lord on Saturday morning. So we'll be kicking that off right at 9 o'clock, and you just come as you're able to and jump in and serve the Lord.
Okay, let's have some prayer requests. You'll be first. Prayer requests. Okay, Heather. East Troy Bible Study High School. East Troy High School Bible Study started off today. There was 3 students there. So got started. Now we need God's blessing to make it go. And so be praying about that. Okay, Heather.
And she said the only bad thing was that Pastor John gave them homework to do, which she was laughing about. So I think it's easy, so I can do it. So she seemed to really enjoy it, and she really liked the cookies.
Okay.
So it was all positive. And I think she's going to invite more of her friends to come. So
Amen.
Pray. And then Brooke isn't saved yet, so just pray for her salvation and understanding, too.
Man, that'd be great. That'd be the first one to get saved.
Past weekend, I saw my mom and my dad, and I was able to just go through the gospel in the Bible with dad, and he kind of agrees with everything, but we talked about the book of 1 John, you know, evidences of salvation, so pray that he would just be willing to read more of the Bible, that the Lord would pique his interest there, because it's kind of not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then pray for my brother, too, that he would be saved. I was able to say some things kind of indirectly to him. He usually doesn't like very direct conversation, so just pray for him.
Okay. All right, Eli. Oh, Mrs. Kuzik.
Can you just pray
A little louder. Turn it up.
Can you just pray for Rachel, one of our nurses, had a wonderful opportunity to talk about the Lord and invite, she's got a young family, invite the kids to Kids Club, and just had a real good opportunity to talk about salvation and raising our children for the Lord. So pray that they would come for Kids Club and to church.
Okay, amen. Now, Eli.
Do be praying for Drew. He's not here tonight. I believe he's planning to come again Sunday, but it seems like the Lord's really giving a connection there. I think the devil might be attacking a little bit, so just pray that God would work that out. He seems to be close to being saved, so I'd really love to see him just keep moving forward. It seems pretty providential how the Lord reconnected us, so do be praying for him. And then as well, just a reminder about the middle school tomorrow. Need to see God work there.
Amen. Need to be praying about that. Okay, Mikey.
Praise the Lord for the 3 girls that were there this morning. My dad was able to get in contact with 3 guys from the high school that I used to play baseball with. Ethan Callahan, who used to come here a little bit, and Jack and Jonah. So if you could pray for those 3 boys that they'd be at the Bible study next week.
Okay. Amen. Okay. Mr. Bush.
Yes, Mr. Bush. I got off a few hours ago, and I always check in with Valerie, and my flesh said, I just want to go home. But the Lord just led me to go in a roundabout way, and I go, hey, guys, hey, well, hang up. They just got off my bus, and I was able to share two gospel tracts with these two boys. One, I believe, goes to a Lutheran school. Another one goes to a Catholic school. I should know both of their names. EJ is the one that goes to a Catholic school. So thank the Lord. Two of my that rode right on my bus this afternoon, they got tracts today.
Okay. Lydia, back there, and then bring it up to the front here to Mike, okay? Philip.
Go ahead. If you could pray for our neighbors, John and Sandra. We were walking on Monday and ran across them, and John was sharing with Mike how his wife, Sandra, almost died last Friday. She was walking. They had just gotten back from Oregon, and she was walking down the stairs at the post office, and a man in a vehicle jumped the curb and hit her.
Ooh.
And she's has a bunch of broken bones in her shoulder clavicle area, and she's all bruised up. And she's home now, but it was just a really neat open door for us because they're very nice, but we've never really had like a real open door to have spiritual conversations that Mike might have with John, but I haven't with Sandra at all. And she's like, oh, you're a nurse, aren't you? She's like, can I call you if I need anything? I'm like, definitely. Like if she needs help with her brace or anything. And so I was like, yeah, just text me. And then we brought cards over on Tuesday, and I had a card from Mike and I and a card from Joseph. And she texted me last night, and she's like, the card from Joseph just brought tears to my eyes. Like, she was so touched by that. And just pray for their spiritual needs. They're elderly and not saved, and just pray for an open door. And then also at the university last night, Mike was able to talk with a young man named Godwin for about 45 minutes and just really got him to think about truths about salvation, very confused. He believes that baptism saves and, you know, just really made that clear that baptism can't save you. So pray for him. Pray for him to come to Bible study. And then two girls, Mars, like the planet, and Kim also came to the table. And Mars came twice, actually. No religious background, but has a very sweet spirit and wants to know more about the Bible. So pray for her to come next week.
Amen. One of those girls got a Bible, never had one in their life. So that was pretty exciting. Okay, Philip.
Please just continue to pray for a real breakthrough there at the Mequonago High School. We have a number of young people that come regularly, but we just need to see that definite, visible working of God is what I'm praying for. And so pray for them. Continue to pray for names like Bella and Alex and Robbie, who many of you have met and have prayed for. But here are three new names of students that have come in, and I maybe sense the Lord working in their lives. There's a set of twin boys, Zach and Nolan. Pray specifically for them that the Lord would really get a hold of their hearts. And then a boy named Evan. There's others I could mention, but maybe we could just focus on those three and just praying that the Lord would save them and they'd have a hunger to really go forward for God.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Micah.
Please just be praying that we see a breakthrough in some bus families, that God works, especially in the Sarate family, that God saves that family. Diego is saved, but just pray for that whole family, that they would come to the Lord. And also, just a quick blessing, we are walking up to the high school today, and of all people, Johnny Newman is walking into school, and he saw us, and he was really excited to see us. And he introduced us right away to the lady in the office. And he's like, this is Mr. Micah from Mequonago Baptist Church. And just pray that God works in his heart and that he would actually come to the Bible study. But it was in Johnny Newman fashion, just his outgoing personality. So just pray that God works in his heart. We never know what the Lord's doing. I also saw Kata, who rides the bus, a van. Sometimes her brother comes to Kids Club. Saw her in the hallways as we were out there talking or handing out some cookies and stuff, just pray that God brings her to the Bible study, Kata. So she's come to church, and then there's other contacts from the past, like okay. Ethan, like Mikey mentioned. So.
Okay, be praying for that. I just think that East Troy is wide open. Adults in East Troy, about as hard as rocks. But the kids, I think there's a wide open field. And Johnny Newman came to Sunday school here on the bus, didn't miss church for 2 years. And he hasn't been here for maybe six or since COVID. So divine appointment right there on the way in. God's working. Okay, Zach.
Last Tuesday at the university, there was a young man named Joshua that approached the table, and Mr. Narlock was able to witness to him and share him the gospel. And Joshua ended up coming to the Bible study that last week, and he ended up getting dinner with a bunch of us guys afterward as well, and another opportunity to minister to him. So we got together with him for a Bible study this Monday night, and we're able to, you know, clearly go through the gospel with him, and we had some dinner with him as well. And Cameron from the university got together with us also, so it was a good opportunity for him to learn and see. And so anyway, it was just neat to see Joshua, who has a little bit of a background in terms of knowing some things, but certainly was lost, certainly didn't understand a lot of things, and just neat to see the breakthrough, you know, in combination with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit as we went through the gospel, and those barriers breaking down of unconfusion to the point where he fully understood. He fully understood what it meant to believe. And, you know, many people don't know really what that means to believe. You know, just a general belief, but certainly saving faith is more than a general belief. But anyway, fast forward, and he was ready at the end of that evening to accept Christ as a Savior, and he did. And it was just a great moment, amazing to see, and it was real and genuine. He fully understood. And so the next day, which was yesterday, I got a call from Joshua's mother, and certainly he had called her Monday night to tell her the good news that he got saved. And so she got my number from Joshua, and she called me and left a voicemail. I called her back when I was done working, and she said, you know, my name is Mrs. Young, Joshua's mother, and I thought at first she was going to be ecstatic that her son got saved, et cetera, et cetera. And she, you know, asked who I was, you know, a little bit more about me, my role at the Bible study, and I told her that. And she said, well, you know, Joshua has his own church, and you know, there's some things that Joshua just doesn't understand, and I think it'd be best that Joshua just doesn't come to the Bible study anymore. And I certainly told her that, you know, hey, we're not a part of a certain church or religion, and just told her the main emphasis of the Bible study. We want students to know Christ, to live for him, etc. And she goes on to, you know, say more things. You know, Joshua just, there's some things he doesn't understand, and, you know, he doesn't need to be unequally yoked. And so again, of course, I'm trying to go at this the best I could. And eventually I said, did Joshua tell you the great news that just took place last night? And I'm thinking maybe there's a breakthrough there. I can just tell her what happened and how he's on his way to heaven, etc. And she said, well, you know, Joshua, he's always been saved. He repented of his sins long ago. And certainly he wasn't always saved. He just a few days ago, he didn't understand. So anyway, fast forward, certainly pray for this young man, Joshua, who certainly genuinely trusted Christ Monday night. It was real and he fully understood. And pray for him that he'd be able to discern between the voices of his mother and the Holy Spirit of God that he now has, and that the Lord would really protect him. And just put yourself in his position, newly saved, and you have your mother. Hey, don't be around that group, et cetera, et cetera. So pray for Joshua. Thankfully, I was able to run into him last night while I was soul winning, and he's so innocent. It wasn't him. It was obviously his mom, and I just chatted with him and encouraged him, just, hey, you know, read your Bible, read the book of John, and keep going through, and that was encouragement to him. So just pray for Joshua, but above the devil getting in the way and you know, with his mom, the great news is that a soul trusted Christ, and mm-hmm. we can be rejoice rejoicing over that. So be praying for Joshua and as well. Just a couple weeks left on the university, and we really need continued prayers and that this good group of men, we had 12 out last night, which was really a blessing. Mm-hmm. And just from earlier in the semester, just 3 or 4 students to now 12 last night, and a few more visitors were back. So more of that could be said, but just a couple weeks left, and keep mm-hmm. praying for that ministry, and especially Joshua.
Amen. Pray for those three young people that were there for the second week in a row, Emily and Mackenzie and Gavin. Pray for them. And that's right, isn't it? The right names? Okay, pray for them. They were there second week. Okay, need a lot of prayer there at the university, and we have to pray that the Lord will help us figure out how to maintain contact and ministry to these kids over the summer so we don't lose them like we did Caden last year. So, okay, Jason?
I would appreciate your prayers for just growth for my brother. He's still, you know, he's doing very well, but I would just appreciate continued prayers for him. And then also for my neighbor Brian, who just continues to find himself in the middle of Baptist circles, and just pray the Lord would give wisdom there, and whatever strongholds it is, I just can't understand. Like, a wall goes up with spiritual things, but he voluntarily puts himself into positions time after time after time to hear the preaching of God. So just pray that you would, that the Lord would penetrate through.
Amen. Pray for that. That's exciting. And pray that Brian will soon be saved. Okay. Pray for the funeral on Friday for Pastor Yoder's granddaughter, who was killed in a bicycle accident last Thursday. And so 16 years old. And the funeral is this Friday. So be praying for them at the Bible Baptist Church in Brookings, South Dakota. Okay. Any last other requests? So many. Be praying for Sunday. Pray for 5 families with children. Want to raise them for God. We need some genuine conversions. Amen. And that's a big, big impossible. But God works on the impossible. And if it dawns on us that it's impossible, then maybe we'll pray like we ought to. But we really need to be praying. Pray for those 46 souls. Pray for those 15 new tithing families. Pray for us to reach that new group of 50 new people attending. And Lord has been answering prayer, but there's much yet for that prayer to be answered. Okay. So, yes, I think we have one back there. Al?
Yeah. Pray for, I've got a funeral to go to on Saturday. My brother-in-law lost his battle with cancer. And some of you have prayed for him in the past, and John Dietzman went home to be with the Lord last Thursday evening. The funeral is Saturday, and a lot of the children are not saved, and just that I would have clear wisdom and opportunity to be able to share with them the truth. It's going to be at a E-Free church, so Episcopal, or not Episcopal, E-Free, Evangelical Free Church, so... I'm assuming that the gospel will be preached. But.
Amen. Okay, pray for that. Pray for Paul from Honey Creek. Pray for him. He needs lots of prayer right now to do the right thing. And so we need to be definitely praying for him and for the growth of all those who accepted the Lord and need to be in church, et cetera. Okay, let's have a hymn. We'll have the offering.
I can take your green hymnals once again and turn to 456. 456, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there, never a friend like Jesus. 456.
Is there all? Cross each burden and bury.
second stanza as the last. No other friend so keen to help you. No other friend so quick to hear. No other friend so
to get close to our goal for the year, we need to have about $100,000 a week given toward the building fund, and we kind of lost vision for that. And I want to encourage you to come on Wednesday night, prepared to give, and thinking about it when you come. And it's important, and certainly we ought to worship God every time we come. Jason, lead us.
Father, we're thankful to be in your house tonight. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you are the comforter of all anxieties, Lord. As we meet here as a body tonight, Lord, I pray that you would wash the world from us, Lord. Pray that the preaching would speak to our hearts, Lord, and grow us as Christians. We pray, Lord, for this offering, Lord, would it meet the needs of this church. Bless the giver now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Church.
He's in Toddler Church. Well, I thought he was old. He passed through that already. Man, a big trombone trio. Wouldn't that be good? Man, that's what, how many have at least three boys in their family? Raise your hand, at least three boys. Oh man, can you imagine that? A trumpet trio, trombone trio, French horn trio, man. That's exciting. Oh, we're talking about the royal sound of brass. Okay. All right. Let's turn our Bible. My wife is trying to promote the violin. You know, you saw the bumper sticker, didn't you? You see the bumper sticker? The bumper sticker said, Lord, please deliver me from bad neighbors and beginner on the violin. Okay, Ephesians chapter 20. Yeah. Acts chapter 20, the elders of the church at Ephesus. I just thought too many things ahead, that's all. That's all right, another Joe moment. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, called the elders of the church. These elders, verse 28. That's the verse you're supposed to know, right? Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, speaking to the elders and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Take heed to yourselves, to all the flock. That's the shepherd. That's the word pastor. Greek word poimen, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. That's the word bishop. He's the overseer. Feed the church of God. There's the pastor, which he hath purchased with his own blood, and he's talking to the elders. You know, all these aspects, all these different names emphasize a different aspect, important aspect of the pastor's job. And we want to think about that, continue to think about that. If you look at 1 Timothy 5, we're going to talk about, we haven't finished with the overseer. All the jobs of the overseer, but we're going to give a little insight here. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Let the elders that rule, this is speaking about their job, their role as an elder. They're the bishop. They're to oversee. They're to rule. I know that's a bad word today, isn't it? People don't like authority. But one of the major issues of life is understanding authority, especially spiritual and biblical authority. And no one will ever may be successful in life that doesn't understand that principle, especially spiritually. But, elders, what is the emphasis of the word, of the title, elder? The emphasis of the title, elder, is surrounding the truth of the sacredness of the office. It's the sacredness of the office that is emphasized by the word elder. It's a sacred office. It requires the call of God. Not only does it require the call of God, but it is a sacred office. It has to do with God's institution, the local church. It has to do with God's word. It has to do with the most important issue, the people of God and their souls and their spiritual life. Now, it's interesting as you think about this. Double honor. Now, of course, the context is talking about the part of the double honor. It's obviously speaking about respect and honor of the pastor because of their role, because of their calling, because of their job. But it's also talking about how do you honor? How do you show that you really honor that office? What does it say? Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And labor is worthy of his hire, of his reward. Now, this is a tough one for America. Because I'm sure history will tell us that the number one issue of America is materialism. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9, of course, the Apostle Paul, we know, willingly, he was a tent maker, and he helped the work of God prosper because of his secular work. But his enemies used it against him. His enemies used it against him and said, well, if you're really an apostle, how come you're working? Doesn't the Bible say, he that ploweth should plow in hope? And he that thresheth in hope, shouldn't he be partaker of this hope? But then he says this important phrase, verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now, I think I can preach on this because you know I'm not asking for an increase in salary. And I haven't asked for an increase in salary. Most years I ask for a decrease. But we need to deal with the real issue here. What's more important? What is more important and what's more important to you? What does it say? If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? What's he saying? You know what? The spiritual, that's the most important thing. And money, that's nothing in comparison to the spiritual and to your soul and to your spiritual health. Amen? And if a person hasn't figured that out, if money is a block to them, then really what they're saying is that the money is far more important than the spiritual. Right? That money, that dollar bill, that's way more important to that person's soul. In reality, now intellectually, they're going to say, of course the spiritual is more important than the dollar, right? I mean, anybody with half a sense would say that. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding, right? The proof is in the pudding. It says, if you really mean that, if you really believe that, then it's nothing
Money doesn't. Money is just is hardly worth quibbling about. You want to give as much as you can. You want to give as much as you can. Why? Because the spiritual is far more important than the carnal. That's what he's saying. And, you know, what does it say in Luke 16? What does it say in Luke 16? Here's a kind of a basic principle. Verse 10. The subject is mammon of unrighteousness. That's money. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If you have not therefore been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Well, I know, I tell you what, we have people been on the mission field, and if Stephen was here, he would agree 1,000%. You know in the mission field if people really mean it, if they give. If they give. If they expect the church to be a handout institution, and they put their little 2 cents worth in there, and, you know, just expect the Americans to pay the missionary and all of that, that means nothing. That means spiritual things mean nothing to them. Nothing. Money is more important than spiritual things. Let the Americans pay the salary. Let the Americans do that. Well, what are they saying? They're saying the spiritual isn't very important to them. And that money is far more important than the spiritual. And that's what the Bible's saying. That's the true issue, isn't it? Now, so let's turn to another little passage of Scripture. Now you can apply this. The young people say I have gray hair, but I still say it's blonde. But Luke 19:32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head." What's that speaking of? Well, the principle of respect for the elderly. Why do you think the pastor has been called the elder? There's a parallel there. Now, a couple other important points here. We need to take a moment and look at number 16:3. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, family of Levi, and Dathan, the Abiram, the sons of Eliah, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they went up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. They were big shots. Famous in the congregation, men of renown. They are known. Well, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spake unto Korah and all his company, saying, even tomorrow, the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. What is he saying? Okay, we'll find out that I'm in this office because God called me, not because of the fact that you have maybe more ability than me. And remember, Moses said, I'm a slow of speech. And these men of renown, they probably said, you know, we can do a better job than you, Moses. You know what? They probably excelled in above Moses in some areas. And Moses said, please don't. That's not the issue. The issue is God called us to this office. We didn't choose it. So that's important truth. Let's go to the other half. Let's go to the respect of the office because of the sacredness of the office, but let's talk about the sacredness of the office. Today we have a real problem with a lack of the sacredness of the office. What do you mean? Well, we can go to the fact that, you know, the pastor's office isn't an office of a fashion show. The pastor's office isn't a slob show either. It's a sacred office. I strongly object to men who come behind the pulpit and want to make it informal. They don't want to wear a tie. They don't want to wear a suit coat. You say, oh, that's the outward show. No. The dignity of the office is to be maintained by the pastor. This is serious stuff. You don't play games with the office of a pastor. You don't make it a place of fashion show and the newest style or the newest fad. The pastor, no. This is a sacred office. Can't get out of my mind. there's a church in the state that we're connected to because the former pastor got saved here. Went into the ministry. He retired. I didn't retire yet. He retired. And they got a new pastor. And the head of the organization in the state said, oh, well, they have this godly young couple. So I said, well, praise the Lord. So I go on the website, and here's this young couple. And the wife has on blue jeans, but they're sacred blue jeans because they're holy. Got all a bunch of holes in them. I was sore displeased. Playing the game with the office of the pastor. You know, God's work is sacred. And you know, if you let people do what they do, you know, we would be, you know, I won't say it. People wouldn't be coming to church with a tie on. Kids would be coming to church dressed like they're going to play football or go fishing or whatever. No, the office is sacred. And the pastor's job is to keep the office sacred. And young men need to understand that that's a very serious thing. And we have this whole movement in America taking away the sacredness of the office. You got preachers out there preaching in blue jeans. Shame on them. We got preachers out there that wear sandals. I suppose if they had a choice, they'd put toenail polish on. We won't get on that one. But you know, the house of God needs to be sacred. And you know what? If the high priest didn't have the garments of the priest on, he would die. Isn't that right? He'd go into the holy, holy place and he would die because he was representing God. And none of us could properly represent God. I understand that. But the job is sacred and God is sacred. And the house of God, that there should be sacredness. Now, that, you know, you can take that to such an extreme, and you can say, oh, we, you know, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, I don't think there's many places that try to keep it as sacred as we do. And so, those who share my responsibility ought to reflect that. Amen? Those who share my responsibility ought to reflect that. Those who are teaching Sunday school ought to reflect that. Those who usher ought to reflect that. Those who lead singing ought to reflect that. The young men who preach, they ought to reflect that. We're trying to maintain what our society is going down, 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 down. And so you need to think about this. You need to think about this. And that's one of his jobs, is to maintain the dignity of the office. And I'm really upset with these young preachers, even from good places, that don't understand the dignity of the office. And that is a part of the problem of the hour. It's a sacred office. So it has both sides. You know, the office is sacred. And God's people ought to recognize it's sacred because it's the most sacred thing, right? Most important thing in life. But the other hand, the pastor better act like it's sacred. He ought to act like it's sacred. And you know, the whole the worship service ought to be, you know, the music is all a part of the dignity of God, right? The sacredness of God. And so, young people, you have a big job ahead of you. Don't lessen the dignity of the office. Don't lessen the dignity of the office. And don't fit into the informal world out there that wants to make the pastor just an informal kind of thing. No. That is all a part of the pastor's job, to keep the image of God where it ought to be, and for man to realize that God is here and we are here, and we are worshiping and bowing down before a holy and great God. Amen? We're bowing down before a holy and great God. And there's lots of ways we can do that, but we will keep that in your mind. The office of the elder, the word elder emphasizes the dignity and the honor, respect due to the office, but it also emphasizes the job of the pastor to maintain the sacredness of the ministry and the sacredness of the office. Let's pray. Father, pray that you'd use the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, really, the ultimate thing is you. And Lord, we can get our eyes just like some did. They got their eyes on the man part. And Lord, we know that's real. And we have a responsibility. But Lord, you've chosen imperfect vessels. So there has to be something bigger than that. There has to be the sacredness of the office that you've made. And Lord, I pray that myself and every young man in this church will have it struck deep within their soul to not to be a part of this downward attitude that takes away the dignity of the office. Whether it is in dress or whether it's in appearance, or whether it's in the whole demeanor of how God is honored, Lord, it all reflects upon you and how great you are and how great it is to be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, time to pray.